Blog Talk Radio.
Hello everyone, welcome to Kitchen Politics 123, The Raider Show. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening everyone, and this is Lori Pica in Michigan. I hope everyone is doing well. It's been a crazy stormy day here, almost tornado-like, but we're okay and we do have power. Thank goodness.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and it's very hot here. It's cooling down now as the sun goes down. Who are the enemies of the state, foreign and domestic threats to an American democracy? There are many, and we will discuss them. Welcoming everybody for joining us, and thank you, as we delve into right-wing extremism, foreign threats, and everything in between. I'm sure glad that everybody is here, and we thank you for sharing on Facebook and social media. And thank you for subscribing and liking our humble little radio show. We try to inform, educate, and enlighten listeners about current political hot button issues of the day. When you call in, all we're asking is say first name and where you're calling from. The telephone number is 515-605-9802. This is Kitchen Politics Radio Show. We're not anti-social, we're anti-stupid. Remember to subscribe at facebook.com/kitchenpolitics123. And before we get into tonight's topic, I want to welcome Augustine Montayo. Augustine, you there?
Yes, I am. Can you guys hear me clearly?
Yes. Hi, Augustine.
Loud and clear.
Hi, everybody. Sorry, I just asked because you guys know how rural connectivity is.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, man. So
yeah,
Augustine,
you sound great.
Is running.
We can hear you loud. We can hear you loud and clear.
Yeah. Yes. Augustine is running for the New Mexico House of Representatives, District 22, and he's a young man, a millennial, and, you know, want to give him all the support. He was on a previous show, our second show for the reboot, and we're glad to have him back. So, first question is, how is the campaign going?
It's going good. We're just working really hard. We are up against some interesting fundraising goals. But aside from fundraising, the door knocking is great. Communicating with the community that's raised me has been so amazing. The perception is going great. And, you know, we're just working forward.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Augustine, when you knock on doors, how do you greet people?
My number one thing is when I knock on a door, I make the environment as approachable as possible because that's what this campaign's about. And so most of the time my introduction is, hi, this is a neighbor from down in Torrance County. Or, hi, my name's Augustine Montoya and I live down in Torrance County and I'm running on X or Y issue. Because I feel like it gives people the opportunity to see that they have a neighbor running.
Oh, okay. That's good because a lot of times if you, you know, announce yourself and say, I'm a Democrat or I'm a Republican, then you get the door slammed in your face. So I was just kind of curious about that.
It's very interesting out here in rural New Mexico.
I believe that.
I can imagine. So your opponent, have you offered any debates with your opponent, and what has your opponent said? Have they responded in a positive way or been shunning any sort of public debates with you?
That's what we're working towards. I am getting ready to make contact for a debate. I think that it's something that the people need to see because there are some very big differences between me and my opponent. And the community deserves to see it in a public forum, and so we're going to request that. I'm going to ask her. I'm going to see if we can get the Chamber of Commerce involved in any kind of way to host the debate so it's independent, and then also possibly some other organizations.
Good, good. So,
what are some of the...
Yeah, go ahead, Laurie.
I was just going to ask, just name a couple of the major differences between you and your opponent.
So some of the big differences between me and my opponent is, first off, my support of environmental issues. I started running for this position because of the water issue facing everyday New Mexicans here in New Mexico. I was District 22. And with that came my support for the Green Amendment, which was, I believe, drafted and sponsored by Senator Ancidio Lopez. And I've drawn some criticism from my opponent for that, saying that it's going to prevent wood haulers from hauling firewood, even though it's my family business and it's in good stewardship with the land. So this is one of the big differences between my opponent, is that I have the work experience and I have the knowledge of creating policy that includes the community that delineates my representation from my opponent. Aside from that, it's also my observation that we need to make sure that our kids can get an education. With the student loan debt relief that we did see, you know, it was a good step in the right direction, but I think that there is more to be done, because finances should not dictate whether you can go to school.
Absolutely. I agree with that 100%.
And, you know, for me, I come from a background where college would have necessarily been an option. I come from a working class family. I am first generation. I remember being in my junior year of high school, filling out and figuring out how to do my FAFSA, because my parents, you know, they raised me with great morals. They're great parents, but they did not have the skills to get me there, and finances should not be a burden on our students. And so and these are some of the big differences between me and my opponent. I really think that her view takes her in the direction of, you know, we need to help, I guess, schools, but do it in such a weird way with things like giving vouchers to people for private schools and things like that. I don't think that that's necessarily beneficial.
In other words, charter schools. In other words, charter schools.
Exactly. Go ahead. And, you know, I did. I went to a public charter. I went to East Mountain High School my last 2 years of high school, but I really think that those same resources should be allocated to children in the public school system. Things like wraparound coordination, because when I went to East Mountain High School, I had a sense of wraparound coordination where my parents were able to see how I got into the ACT and now turn those skills around to help my sister. But some people in the public schools present in my previous education, you know, I went to Wisconsin Municipal Schools, I needed a bigger scope of education and a curriculum, so I went to East Mountain. But there are children who don't have access to those resources in a public school setting. And so I want to provide those sources to those children, whereas my opponent's more focused on private school and funding private schools. And so that's the educational component. I can go on and on in unison with things like gun violence. I think that that's something that needs to be studied, and I think it's something that requires an approach that deals with education on behalf of the community and ensuring that we are making sure that guns don't end up in the hands of people who commit mass shootings and commit crime.
Right. Absolutely.
Agreed. Yes. So will you be having any fundraiser soon, and how is the campaign coming on in terms of raising funds for the campaign?
It's going good. We are our win number right now is to raise $17,000, which, you know, coming from where I come from, that's a lot of money. So we have to raise $17,000. We do have a fundraiser coming up on September 8th. It's going to be at 5:30 in Santa Fe, New Mexico. If you guys want anybody to RSVP, if you're listening, or to our hosts, both Lori and David, please RSVP at my cell phone, which is 505-620-4539.
Okay. That sounds good.
Yes. We'll have a first caller here for you, Augustine. And just reminding everybody that Augustine is running in District 22, House District for New Mexico. He's a vibrant, young, energetic young man. And, you know, let's give him all the support he needs. And remember, when you call in, say first name, where you're calling from. Hello, caller. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking tonight?
Honey. Happy.
Hello. Yes, do you have a question for Augustine?
No, I'm sorry.
Okay. Oh, you want to talk about anything else, or?
Well, I was just, Lori asked, is Lori there?
Oh, yeah,
oh,
Lori's
yes.
here. Who's
yes.
this?
Mm-hmm.
It's Kathy.
Oh, hi, Kathy.
Oh, Kathy.
Yeah, we'll, can you hold on a few minutes while we're talking to Augustine? He's running for, he's a running candidate in New Mexico.
I can't. I'll have to catch you next week because I got to go pick somebody up.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll
yes.
Catch you next week.
Okay, that
all
sounds
right.
Wonderful. Take
bye.
Care.
Bye. Mm-hmm. Yes,
that
ma'am.
Was Kathy. I
yes.
can't remember what state she's from.
I'm sorry. I can't touch on that transportation discussion, though. I think that was a very interesting
yeah.
conversation. I would like to touch mm-hmm. on that if I have a couple of seconds.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
So
sure.
she hit a very home. Her talking about taking and picking up somebody, regardless of what situation it is, hits close to
mm-hmm.
home because transportation is an issue out here in rural New Mexico. And,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
it's just food for thought, and I wanted to bring that up to you guys.
Yeah.
I'm working with. You know, rural veterans and rural people have very hard time accessing resources because they are so far away. And it is my deep commitment out here in New Mexico to make sure that we build the infrastructure necessary, that large corporations pay their fair share for the infrastructure to conduct taxes to build this plan out here in rural New Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay, one more question
mm-hmm.
from me. And then, Lori,
mm-hmm.
if you have another question, you can ask.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a rash number of shootings, and latest one being in Oregon. Today it happened. Do you believe that, you know, the Second Amendment should be amended, or do we need stronger laws, you know, to try counter this mass shooting hysteria?
I think it's a comprehensive approach, and the reason that I say that is because when we talk about guns and gun violence, there's so much that goes
mm-hmm.
into it, whether that's indicating mm-hmm. that that's going to happen beforehand and catching the culprit before the shooting ever happens, and then also making
mm-hmm.
sure that our children are aware of the damage that guns can do, because I feel like a lot
mm-hmm.
of what we see going on with children is, yes, that we need to provide more workers in school and educational staff to help cope with some of the things that may be going at home causing mental illness, but then also making
mm-hmm.
sure that they're educated about what a gun does. Because I do come from a family
mm-hmm.
who hunts, so I have guns in the home, but I was educated very early on that once you pull a trigger, there is no taking that back, and you only pull
mm-hmm.
that trigger if you're going to cause damage or if you're intending
mm-hmm.
to hunt something or you're shooting a target or you're protecting yourself. And so I think that for right now, we have to be willing to look at the infrastructure necessary to prevent this from happening in the first place. And then
mm-hmm.
with that, making sure that, yes, we have laws that regulate this, but that the enforcement end of it is there so that we can make sure that the laws are being enforced and that people are able to use their Second Amendment right in the way that it was intended in my case, and that was for protection of yourself. And that was
yes.
the narrowly tailored purpose in my observation. You know, people have the right to have their guns, but they also have a right to be conscious of the community around them and the damage that that gun can cause.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
My follow-up question to that, Augustine, would be, what about an AR-15 or an assault rifle? Do people need to buy those? I mean, is there a purpose for those if you're not in the Army or, you know, something like that, you know, in the military, I should say.
Yes. And thank you for the question, Lori. I apologize. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, it's okay.
So for me, I don't see the necessity in buying an AK of any kind. I don't see the necessity to buy a high capacity magazine either. I don't
mm-hmm.
think that it's necessary, especially in the society that we live in. In rural New Mexico, people do have them. I mean, I've seen them in my community, and people, yes, of course, those people enjoy to have those guns. But at the same time, it's not necessary, and I don't think that it's something that's going to solve this, to help this problem. I think that
mm-hmm.
in the hands of people who are going to cause things like mass shootings or they're going to cause things like other crimes, having
mm-hmm.
them out on the streets is not going to help anybody.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Right. And I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And ladies and gentlemen, to contribute, go to Augustine's website. It's www.ANM4NM.com. That's ANM4NM.com. And mm-hmm. the donation site is bit.ly/donate-Augustine. The number 4, New Mexico, or NM.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. Okay, mm-hmm. So thank you so much for calling in, Augustine, and mm-hmm. we look forward to hearing more from the campaign as November 8th fast
yeah.
approach. We have 71 days until the big day, and you're going to
yeah.
do good.
Absolutely.
Thank you so
Augustine,
much.
One last thing I have for you. Has the experience of being a first-time candidate, has this been a positive one for you?
It's positive. I mean, there are pros and cons to everything. So
mm-hmm.
I'm very long-winded. Sorry.
That's all right. That's
so,
fine.
No. Uh-oh.
I've worked on this particular campaign trail 2 times now.
Mm-hmm.
When I helped Jessica Velasquez when she ran for New Mexico House District 22, we did it twice in 2018 and 2020. So
mm-hmm.
that sense of the experience,
mm-hmm.
is
okay.
Great. The field is great. I love being out in my community. I love knocking doors. I love making phone calls, no matter which, whether it goes good or bad, which we've had more good than bad.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I can tell you the fundraising and money end of it is something that I don't think is at all necessary. Not necessarily for the fact of getting your message out there, but it's big
mm-hmm.
money in politics. When you look at some of these other candidates and running as a grassroots
right.
candidate, it's a lot different.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I know that. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
absolutely. It costs millions of dollars for some campaigns, millions upon millions.
Yes.
And it's ridiculous, really. And all the dark money.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And it is interesting running against my opponent because she has lots of money and we are competing
mm-hmm.
with a low budget, but lots of energy and lots of late nights. So
that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think
mm-hmm.
that's awesome.
Thank you so much. I think it shows
that.
More to us as a community.
What, Augustine? I'm sorry.
I think it shows more about us as a community when we win on
mm-hmm.
campaigns that don't raise uber amounts of money, because it shows
yeah.
that our
mm-hmm.
candidates are in tune with the community.
Yes.
Yes, and
yes.
it just shows a little bit of hard work and grit does pay off,
mm-hmm.
doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Well, we wish you the best. We're going to have you back on again because we want to see in a couple, 2-3 weeks, however you're doing. And I hope that you do get that debate because I would love to listen to it. And here in Michigan, you know, we have our own fights going on here. So, but anyways, besides that, I wish you the best, Augustine. Thank you so much for calling.
Sitting there.
Mm-hmm. Thank you both so very much. I appreciate being on the show. I appreciate all the hard work you guys put into this. Listeners, please support them as much as you can.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
And also, all right, Augustine, thank you so much, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you guys so much.
Bye-bye.
Yes. That was Augustine Montayo, a Democratic candidate for 2022 in the House District
mm-hmm.
of 22 in New Mexico. Mm-hmm. Bright, young, energetic young man, has a lot of
yeah.
grassroots support. He's raising
mm-hmm.
campaign funds. His next campaign date is September 7th. I think he said 7 o'clock. And, you know, we want this guy to win because he's an able person, an intelligent person, a decent person. And to contribute money, telephone 505-620-4539. And a campaign contact. The website is www.ANM4NM.com. Email address info@ANM4NM.com. Okay, so that was Augustine. And he's going to win. He's going to fight. He's going to win.
Mm-hmm.
We've got some good people supporting him in a campaign,
yeah.
as well as his campaign, Margarita. She's a good person, experienced campaign
mm-hmm.
person. And he's been in
mm-hmm.
politics for years now. and she knows what she's doing, and they're going to give the fight to the incumbent because things have to change. There is not going to be a red tide, as Republicans have been saying, not even a ripple, because this thing with abortion especially, and what we talk about in the other states, foreign and domestic, they are the top things that people are concerned about. It's not about the economy. Mm-hmm. Republicans over and over again try to say that the economy is going bad. We're going to have a recession soon. But with all the successes that Joe Biden and Democrats have been having, America is paying attention and saying, hey, at least Democrats have something and they get through certain things. What are the Republicans up to? Just saying no to everything. And especially about that abortion issue, it's going to backfire. Yeah. So there's, yes. Okay.
You know, David,
so we're gonna,
that is the number one issue country right now. I think there's two issues that are important in my eyes that I see as the two issues that are really hot button that are going to get people out to vote, especially Democrats. Number one, just like you mentioned, abortion. NPR noted that there is a profound voter registration among women that's historical. It's historical. That's number one. The second one is education, because education right now is being attacked by Republicans and the crazy Q people, the ones that are out there on the right side that are losing their minds about, you know, the books that are being banned. Those two things, I think, are going to bury Republicans. That's in my opinion. And, you know, all along I have said that I think that we're going to win in 72 days, and I still believe that. I still do.
Yes. And, it's, you know, it was so gratifying if Democrats win big. You know, I mean, some races are going to be real close because Mitch McConnell has already taken out money from certain senatorial races because, you know, it's so close and everything. He wants to concentrate on the ones that Republicans have, like, a big lead. I don't know how much sense that makes, but continue what you do, Mitch McConnell, because America hates you. You're an idiot. And speaking of idiots, Lindsey Graham, a day after the Capitol riots, he said, this is Lindsey Graham from South Carolina, Republican senator, when it comes to accountability, the president needs to understand that his actions were the problem, not the solution. So he said the president's achievements over the 4 years that he served was tarnished by what happened on Capitol Hill. So now Lindsey Graham, a year ago he said that, and now a couple of days back he was saying if Garland, Attorney General Garland and Justice Department prosecute Trump and the riots of the streets. You know, will the real Lindsey Graham please stand up? Because he's talking on both sides of his mouth. And here's a clip of Lindsey Graham making an ass of himself 1 year ago.
Oh, I love it.
This president has been consequential from a conservative point of view. It's been an amazing 4 years in terms of judges, securing the border, a vaccine in record time, deregulating the economy, cutting taxes, historic Mideast peace agreements, the destruction of the caliphate, on and on and on, was tarnished by yesterday. When it comes to accountability, the president needs to understand that his actions were the problem, not the solution. That the rally yesterday was unseemly, it got out of hand, and a good friend of mine, Rudy Giuliani, did not help. I sit on the floor of the Senate. I cast my vote accordingly. Joe Biden is the legitimate president-elect of the United States. Are there irregularities in this election? Yes, I'm sure they are. Have they been overblown? Absolutely. There's been a constant effort by people from the president's legal team to provide misinformation, to distort the facts, to make accusations that cannot be proven. That needs to stop.
Yeah, so that's Lindsey Graham. That was 1 year ago.
Yeah.
And now he's changing tune. What does Russia or what does Trump or Giuliani or whoever have on Lindsey Graham? What's the deal here? He keeps talking on both sides of his mouth, and it just don't make any sense.
You know, and the funny what struck me is in that little clip that you just played, he talked about all the things that the Trump administration did in their 4 years, and he mentioned vaccines, and he mentioned tax breaks. Who are those tax breaks for, David? Who are they for?
The top 1%. The top 1%,
exactly.
Everybody who makes over $400,000.
Exactly. The top 1%. So the big corporations, like Amazon, mm-hmm. and, GE and all these GM and all these huge corporations have not been paying taxes mm-hmm. since 2017, mind you. Their stockholders and the CEOs are making millions upon billions,
mm-hmm.
I should say. And do mm-hmm. you think that's something good for the people? Are you serious? Who is that good for? Not for us. Absolutely not for us. So when
exactly.
these people talk, they talk a bunch of BS and bullshit. I'm going to say it right out. That's all it is.
Exactly. And Lindsey Graham, he recently raised eyebrows with the riots claim on Fox, where he said that if, Trump is prosecuted, then riots will be in the streets. And I'm going to play a little clip, a one-minute clip of what he said.
Okay.
Here it is.
Thank you.
Yeah, queuing it up and everything. It's coming up shortly. I had a thing together, but sometimes things just don't work out the way it's supposed to. Yeah, this is Kitchen Politics 123, and the number to call in is 515-605-9802. We're looking forward to hearing from everybody, and Beto O'Rourke is going to be, we're talking about him soon.
Lindsey Graham raising eyebrows with these comments following the FBI's retrieval of at least 184 classified documents from Mar-a-Lago.
If there's a prosecution of Donald Trump for mishandling classified information after the Clinton debacle, which you presided over and did a hell of a good job, there'll be riots in the streets.
Joining us now, New York Magazine Washington correspondent Olivia Nuzzi and New York One political reporter Emily Noe. Olivia, how should one read what Lindsey Graham just said there?
How can you tell if there's a difference? I mean, did he live through the insurrection? I didn't think that Lindsey Graham was overly concerned about political violence in the wake of that over these last few months that he's been defending the former president. I think, it's an attempt to fearmonger, and it's not all that surprising given how Lindsey Graham has kind of done everything and said anything that he could think of to try and support the former president, but it's as if the insurrection did not happen, to say that, as if something like that has never happened before, and it would be completely unprecedented for the former president's supporters to do that. It sounds pretty ridiculous.
Ellen?
I do hope that Senator Graham understands the weight of his words. He seems to be simultaneously indicating that he believes the former president to be above the law, but also potentially inciting violence. And this is the same Lindsey Graham who, the day after there was rioting in the streets, insurrection at the Capitol on January 6th, said, "Count me out, enough is enough." But also the same Lindsey Graham who is trying to resist the grand jury probe into potential election interference in Georgia by Donald Trump and his allies. So it seems that his fealty is fluid, but does seem to be saying what conveniences him right now.
So the rat bastard from South Carolina is talking on both sides of his mouth. And if
mm-hmm.
anybody, whether you serve in Congress, United States Senate, or a regular Joe, or a regular Jane, then the FBI and Homeland Security will come knocking on the door and have a word with them. And how dare Lindsey Graham say he's not going to show up in Georgia to testify? Who does he think he is, really? Where do they get off, man?
He's delusional. He will have to go, he will have to go to Georgia. He got a delay. He was lucky that he did get a delay. But is it going to change anything? No, absolutely not. He can drag his feet all he wants. It's going to happen. And as
mm-hmm.
far as that comment that he made, you're absolutely right. Because if it was me or if it was you, or the person across the street or anyone that made a comment like that, we would be we would have been arrested by now. The FBI would be at our doorsteps. Absolutely.
Exactly.
And it's wrong. It's wrong to be able to say something like that and get away with it without consequences. Just because he's Lindsey Graham and just because he is who he thinks he is. I find it appalling. Mm-hmm. And it just irritates me really bad.
Exactly. And, you know, every public official in America has sworn an oath to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Yet, it's long been taboo even to not acknowledge that we may have domestic enemies, like the KKK, the people who took part in the Proud Boys, who took part in the January 6th insurgency. Mm-hmm. You know, this willful blindness that the right wing, you know, is doing now. It can be fatal to American democracy. So witness such enemies operating under the banner of sedition entities like the Marxist anarchist Antifa, which is not an organization, but it's more like Antifa means anti-fascist, okay? And how can you you're blaming quote unquote Antifa, a group that do exist? You know, but yet still when the Proud Boys and whoever else, whatever they do, you call them patriots. You know, it just don't make any damn sense. They endanger public safety and everybody who would come to that insurrection and riot need to go to prison for a long time. The latest I've read, Rachel Maddow, this judge is seeking 17 years for one of the people from the Proud Boys. Who use a flagpole and stick into the policeman's eye, you know, 17 years. And that's good because people have been getting 2 years here, you know, 7 years there, whatever. You know, that's not long enough. They need to really, really, you know, suffer for what they did. Because we cannot survive without our democracy, this great experiment.
Yes. You know, the thing is, you know, you said 17 years. To me, that was out-and-out attempted murder. And actually, it's even worse than that. You're gouging someone's eyes out, trying to gouge someone's eye out, you know, with a flagpole. You know, that is attempted. That's just brutality. And it's even attempted murder, in my opinion. And I would say life in prison. I find it that would be only fair. That's my opinion on more people would maybe think. In 17 years, that's a long time. And maybe more people will think. But you're right. 2, 3 years, 6 months, 10 months, that's nothing for what they did. Absolutely nothing. They tried to overthrow our democracy. And no way. That can't happen. And they tried to, you know, kill some of our leaders, like Nancy Pelosi. And, you know, they're going to hang Pence and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Can't get away with that stuff. You just cannot do that in a civilized society. You just can't.
Exactly. Exactly. And then Lindsey Graham, in the clip I just played a couple minutes back, saying that he had peace talks successful in the Middle East. Jared Kushner was leading that. And let's just go into that because Jared Kushner got $1 billion from the Sultan or the Prince of wherever, Saudi Arabia. And he was the one who was responsible for killing Jamal Khashoggi, the Washington Post writer. He's an American, you know?
Exactly.
And, you know, I mean, how can you not answer for that where you know full well that this man you're dealing with in Saudi Arabia murdered an American, but yesterday they take money from him? I mean, it's so disgusting, making one throw up, you know?
Well, for them, it's all about money and filling their pockets. Mm-hmm. They're just grifters. They're not human beings. They were just raised that way, you know? Jared has he is just, his father was in federal prison for what, embezzlement or tax evasion? I'm not even sure, but I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. You know, he was in federal prison, his own father. So he doesn't come from anything, you know, great either. And look at Ivanka, she was raised by Donald Trump. Holy crap, you know. Mm-hmm. So these people people have no conception of money or what life is. They don't care. They don't. They do not care.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the bottom line.
Exactly. You know, let's identify some of the countries that the United States has on its enemies list that keeps expanding, and its list never contracts. Number one, the People's Republic of China has recently emerged as top on the U.S. enemies list. For months, President Trump, former President Trump, and his equally aggressive Secretary of State have blamed China for spreading the coronavirus. Trump called it Kung Flu, while Mike Pompeo, the former Secretary of State, has dubbed it the Wuhan Flu. You know, China wasn't amused. It caused a diplomatic row. So, you know, I mean, China's a long-term threat economically. We owe them so much money, you know.
Yeah.
If China decides to invade America tomorrow, you know, could we stand up against them? You know, the misdemeanors by Beijing include espionage, targeting of Chinese national in the United States, as well as indulging in unfair trade practices. You know, and you know, the New York Con cabal in 1997 never allowed a rival power to emerge to challenge the United States' global preeminence. Since the Cold War, we won the Cold War and everything. China is the one who is our number one enemy. They have exceptional powers. And the belief that they should dominate the world, basically. You know, so China is a threat. Number two, the Republic of Iran, the Islamic Republic of Iran. They hate America since the whole 1979 arms for hostage deal, you know, and because America is a leader of the Western world or a free world, you know, they believe in a Islamic state, meaning religion runs Iran. And, you know, under every circumstances, they want to see America and Americans dead, you know, so... You know, when Trump came in, he put a stop to the agreement, Iran agreement on building a nuclear war, nuclear weapon, sorry. After years of the Obama administration working tirelessly to come to some sort of agreement. So right now as it stands, Iran is more even more powerful. Who knows if they have the bomb or soon get a bomb. Number three, Russia, unicorn Russia, who was part of the Soviet Union, was a principal enemy of the United States. And upon the disintegration of the Soviet Union, Russia was considerably weakened. So Russia under Boris Yeltsin was little more than a U.S. colony, basically. They were starting from scratch with democracy. And America invaded them economically with multinational corporations. And worked in tandem with the corrupt Russian mafia, which Vladimir Putin, the current president of Russia, is part of. He's a big part of the Russian mafia. Since 1985, it's alleged that Russia has been working in cahoots with Donald Trump and, you know, making deals. He wants to build a Trump Tower in Moscow. And who knows what sort of blackmail to have against Donald Trump. And it comes back to the fact that he stole documents that didn't belong to him but the American people. And now he has a nerve through his lawyers to say, oh, give those documents back to me because I rightfully own them. You know, he doesn't own shit. You know, it's American people's own. And the secret, 62 secret, top secret documents. I mean, if anybody in their right minds, look on Reality Winner. She was part of the armed forces or part of Homeland Security, I beg your pardon, and Justice Department. And she took one page of something and gave it to WikiLeaks, and WikiLeaks published it. And she got years in prison.
You
know? So now this rat bastard, orange piece of garbage, Donald Trump, had 15 boxes of you know, the things belonging to America. You know, that had secrets that could compromise people, you know, and could get people staring at people feeling it. And yet still, he's still walking free. What's that? Is it a case of, oh, you know, he's Donald Trump. He's part of the 1%. Mm-hmm. You know, he's bigger than the law. You know, arrest him already. What's your thought?
Well, let's put it this way. Also, another thing, you know, you mentioned Russia, China, Iran, and there's also Cuba. But the thing is about these documents is that one of the former FBI officials, his name was Peter Strozak, he says, and I quote, any competent foreign intelligence service would have tried to enter Mar-a-Lago. And he cited Russia, China, Iran, and Cuba as possible countries that these agents came from. So Strozak, if we remember, was fired from the FBI after sending anti-Trump messages and is a frequent target of Trump's attacks. So basically, you know, these documents that they have, you know, they were top secret. And maybe these countries have some of these secrets now. And they keep, you know, Trump and his – and the other thing I want to – I guess I'm going to go off on a little tangent here, but I – when they talk about the Trump team lawyers, who are these clowns? Honestly, if they were lawyers with any sort of integrity whatsoever, would they take on something like this? Would they really want to defend Trump? I mean, honestly, are they, you know, when I close my eyes and I think about these lawyers and I don't even know what they look like, I think about a dark room in a basement, smoke all over the place and a few drinks at this lousy bar, and this is where these lawyers hang out. Are you getting my gist of this?
Yeah, yes.
You know? And, you know,
in other words, these lawyers have no background and to stand on, meaning they take this case for notoriety and get them known. That's my thought.
I don't know, because honestly and truly, I mean, if you have common sense, you know what Trump has done. You know what he did. He's, you know, these documents were secret documents, and they could hurt people. You know, there's names on there. There's things that, you know, we don't even want to know. We probably don't want to know or touch with a 10-foot pole. And yet these lawyers are trying to defend somebody like that. They have no, honor. I mean, are they really lawyers, or did they flunk, you know, when they call themselves lawyers? I don't know. I mean, if you're, I just find it hard to comprehend why anybody, and he doesn't pay anybody. We all know that, right?
Yep. Yep. And
he doesn't
the
pay
lawyers,
that,
right? And the lawyers who have a name for themselves, who are used to cases like these, they know full well that their law firms are shunning Donald Trump because there's no way in hell he can escape this, what he did.
That's,
you know, he's supposed to go to prison. Eventually, he'll go to prison. You know, and, you know, he gave a free pass to Russia. He gave a free pass to North Korea, to China. He, you know, put up a fight against China with the trade embargo, which really ruined everything. You know, and since the emergence of Vladimir Putin as Russian president, Russia has gradually inched its way back into prominence. They're trying to be a superpower again that the Soviet Union was once. And since Stalin days till now, they've been trying to infiltrate the United States government, and they've been successful because of Donald Trump. You know, Russia is no match for the United States. Economically, but military-wise, they've grown. And that should be a cause of concern, because Moscow's gained political and strategic strength in the region of Asia. And the United States, you know, I wouldn't say they've been shunning it and everything, but they're watching it closely. They're trying to work through diplomatic negotiations. And together with China and Iran, Russia has also created an informal alliance to try and scare us in the United States. North Korea, on the other hand, we've been at odds with North Korea since the 1950s. And we had an uneasy truce with them in 1953, and it created North Korea and South Korea. And the United States have a large number of troops in South Korea, as we know. But you know, North Korea under Kim Jong-un in recent years has attempted to build a nuclear weapon. And since Barack Obama, even since George W. Bush, they've been trying to, like, negotiate with North Korea not for them to have this nuclear warhead, because there are crazy people who are running North Korea, you know? And Donald Trump absolutely did nothing, you know? He met the North Korean leader by the border and, like, saluting generals in the North Korean army. He's a president of the United States. You don't get that. You know, he's, like, chumming up with North Korean people. Sorry, I'm losing my voice. You know, so, I mean, you know, a madman meeting a madman, basically. You know, Venezuela is a problem, you know. You know, under the Monroe Doctrine, the big stick policy, you know, Hugo Chavez was a leader. And American multinational corporations plundered Venezuela's natural resources, oil and gas, and a lot of minerals for decades until the Bolivarian Revolution. Since then, the United States have targeted Venezuela and subjected to a raft of sanctions. last year, they attempted a coup d'etat against the democratically elected government of Nicolas Maduro and propped up Juan Guaido, Speaker of the National Assembly, to be a puppet president for Venezuela. And the United States want to recognize him as a legitimate ruler of the country. So what's running Venezuela now is gangsterism, basically. U.S. imposed sanctions have heavily affected their economy. Islamic Iran is boldly stepping forward to help Venezuela with fuel, oil, medicine to overcome disastrous consequences of U.S. sanctions against Venezuela. You know, so naturally, the warlords in Washington are very upset. As you mentioned, Cuba is on a tiny Cuba has been under U.S. sanctions since Fidel Castro, since the revolution in 1959. We could have been friends with Cuba, but because Fidel Castro in 1961, when he came to the United Nations asking for help, the United States said, okay, you'll have to bow down to us. You'll have to be our, you know, we'll have to be your masters and everything we say you do. But Castro was like, no, no, that would be dishonoring the revolution and what we stand for and what we were fighting for. So, you know, the Fulgencio Batista was overthrown in 1959, and most of Cuba's sugar plantations were handed over to foreign ownership. 70% of Cuban arable land was handed over to corporations. The widening gap between the rich and the poor, Castro revolution ended such exploitation. That's why up to this day, they have a Cuban embargo on sanctions. Barack Obama, when he was president, he tried to cool sanctions and have open talks with them. And when Donald Trump came in, he just, you know, shit on that basically and went back to the cold dealings with Fidel Castro in Cuba. Syria is a problem, you know, with... You know, since early 2011, we've been having full-fledged proxy war with Syria. Mercenaries from numerous countries backed by the United States and its regional puppets flooded the country, causing havoc. Syrian allies, Iran, through Hezbollah, and then Russia in 2015 came to Syria's aid, preventing the collapse of the government. So much of the country has been cleansed of mercenaries, but at enormous cost to human and material losses. So Syria, on the other hand, its borders with Israel and refusing to recognize the Zionist entity in illegal occupied Golan Heights. Syria is part of the resistance axis confronting Israel, who they view as a Zionist country. You know, and I feel that Israel... deserve to be recognized as a country, but what the Nazis did to the Jews are now doing to the Palestinians. So how is that right? Hezbollah is hated by America, and rightly so. Hamas, the Islamic Jihad, we're fighting against that. The Taliban, the trillion-dollar war, and, you know, I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on. It can go on forever. No, those are the main international terrorists or the people trying to scare America into bowing down to them, which will never happen. And that is why it's important for people to go out there and vote and register and vote Democratic, because we'll have our shit together. We'll just have to have a cohesive message, because Republicans stand for nothing. Reagan, Ike, Lincoln, Gerald Ford, who I've met years ago, they're all turning the grenades because of what the Republican Party has turned into, you know? Mm-hmm. And we talk about the domestic terrorists afterwards, but that's just my rant and how I feel and what's happening with international adversaries, Russia and China being on top of the list. So now we're going to have a call now. The number to call, ladies and gentlemen, is 515-605-9802. Say your first name and where you're calling from. We'd love to hear from everybody. This is Kitchen Punks 123. We'll have Susie on the line. Susie from Michigan. Hello.
How you doing? You're right on, guy.
Yeah.
You're right on. You're correct 100%.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I would like to know the deal that Trump made with Russia, probably to get his tower, like you said. But they helped spread all the lies and fake information in order to get him elected.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
China helped, too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because they got a dumbass heading our country, so they figure they can take advantage of it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, it's fueling all the far-right crazies, and I don't recognize our country anymore. We're turning into a fascist state.
Yeah, we...
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I have a little blip. I have the Republican vote tracker, and I'm just going to read it because, you know, David talked about Republicans don't do anything. He's absolutely right. So here we go. 0% of Republicans, these are all Republicans, by the way, voted for cheaper gas. 0% voted for cheaper insulin. 0% voted for child credit. 0% voted for stimulus checks. 0% voted for end-to-end gerrymandering. 0% voted for the Voting Rights Act. 1% voted to fight domestic terrorism. 4% voted to keep birth control legal. 4% voted for background checks. 6% voted for more baby formula. 13% voted to stop domestic violence. 16% voted for veteran cancer care. 23% voted for legal gay marriage. And 32% voted to uphold the election. That's not a very good track record. It really
not
is.
Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's an awful track record. They have nothing to brag about, and they haven't given us anything. We have 71 days to go. And you know what else is funny is I read today, a few of the GOP candidates are now scrubbing their websites on their abortion their anti-abortion views. They're scrubbing their website. I don't know why. But the funny thing is all you have to go back and do and see a month prior to that or 2 months prior to that, their stance, and it's still there. They can scrub their websites all you want because you don't need to go to their websites to know where they stand.
Exactly.
And that's why abortion is going to be the top issue, and it's going to win it for the Democrats, and the women are going to do it. That's how I feel.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Kissinger today said that the biggest threat to our democracy is Republican hypocrisy, defending Trump, taking documents and so forth. He said it's ridiculous. And that's a big threat. I mean, it's all about asshole and not our country.
Yeah.
I don't get it. What is it? They're going to – they've been trying since the Tea Party and the Koch brothers. They want to take over our country, make it very white, and very Republican, and just a fascist state is what they're going for. And they're trying their damnedest. And yes, people have to vote in September. November 8th.
Oh, yeah. November
8th. I'm losing track of time. It's not soon enough.
I know. You know, and there's you know, there's a group of extremists out there, you know, like McCarthy and Hawley, Marjorie Taylor Greene, you know, Lauren Boebert, now Lindsey Graham. I mean, the list goes on. Yeah, it's, you know, they must have a stake in this somehow. I don't understand really what it is.
Money.
It's got to be money.
And power. Yeah. That's all they care about. Money and power. The Supreme Court screwed up big time when they said corporations are people too and can give as much as they want. They screwed it up, and that's what, you know, the pharmaceuticals hold over them. They're not going to let you buy insulin for $40. Heavens, you know, forget it.
I know.
Mm-hmm. They want to make a killing. Same with the oil companies, you name it. And and what's his name in Virginia, that, you know, his coal companies, heaven forbid if they close, which they are anyway. But it's power and money.
Yeah. I know, speaking of scrubbing websites, Republican candidate for U.S. Senate against Mark Kelly, the incumbent Democrat, he tweeted that Mark Kelly is lying about his views on abortion. He ran for the Republican nomination and even made ads saying that under no circumstances, whether it's rape, incest, or the mother's family in danger, should anybody have an abortion. Now, he has the nerve, the gods come on Twitter and other news media like Fox. And, well, Fox is not a news media. They're entertainment.
No, they're not.
You know, he has limits to abortions, and he's not extreme. And the thing is, he's extreme because during the primary, he ran as extremist candidate. He won because people support Republicans. Crazy people are in the Republican Party. They're far right-wing fringe fascist party now, you know, and all these other candidates, the candidate for governor, for example, she's just like in a world of her own, you know, former TV news anchor.
Are you talking
woman.
About in Michigan? Are you talking about Michigan?
Oh, no, in Arizona, Carrie Lake.
Oh, okay.
Carrie Lake. She's a Republican nominee. She's crazy.
Yes, I know who that is.
You know, you can see in her eyes. She's absolutely fucking nuts. You know?
She's got the crazy eyes. You're right about that. You know, it's, you know, what I think also is that they honestly believe that we are stupid. They honestly believe that we can't, you know, go on our phones or on our laptops or wherever, in our iPads, and we can't look things up. Are you kidding? We can do whatever we want. And, you know, Ron Johnson's another one. He's another one that has scrubbed his website. So there's quite a few of them. There's a couple in Michigan that have scrubbed their websites. I'm going to find out who they are. But I'm just saying, this is how they're running scared, because they had extreme views on abortion, rape, and incest as well. And now they see the light. They see that that women are pissed off. Even if they're Republican, they are pissed off. You know what? Too bad for them. Too bad for them.
They're going to learn. They're going to learn.
We're going to beat them. The women are going to carry on. We're going to take it over.
Oh, you better believe
we have
but
to.
Do you think it is? Do you think that Donald Trump will be prosecuted finally? Because something I forgive, man.
Yes, I do. I do. And I know, David, that, you know, I mean, I'm just as impatient as everybody else. I really am. And, you know, if you pay attention now, you know, these so-called lawyers that Trump has, and I've already expressed my view on them, you know, and then our Justice Department, of course, that is supreme, and, you know, they really know what they're doing. But we have to remember that we can make no mistakes. There can be no mistakes. Everything has to be, you know, proper and correct, and because there's one mistake made, and then, you know, the whole thing could just be for nothing. So I would rather I kind of wanted it done before. I want it done before November. I do. I don't know if that's going to happen, but
mm-hmm.
I think the pressure is on, and I think Donald mm-hmm. Trump is running scared. I really think that he has dug his ditch, maybe his grave. I'm not sure which yet, but it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And karma's going to
yeah.
get him. It always does. Mm-hmm. It always gets you.
Yeah.
Karma does not forget.
Yeah. Yeah, no,
and he's
who
got
are,
New York
is.
To worry about, you know, about his taxes
oh, yeah.
and all the fraud.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then our AG is the best guy to have in that position right now. He is very
yeah.
meticulous.
Mm-hmm.
He is very
yep.
patient. He is
yep.
very on point. And that's what
yeah.
we have to have, because there cannot
yeah.
be, you know, another go at this. This is a one-time deal, and they got to do
yeah.
it right the first time. I
yeah.
know. I wish he was in jail yesterday, but
I wish
no.
he was in jail four years ago. I mean,
for sure.
Really, it's just beyond, you know, we have suffered from since, what, 2016 with this man
mm-hmm.
every single day.
Mm-hmm.
You have to see his freaking
yeah.
face when you turn on the TV or, you know, online. It
with
just
his
never
fist
goes
up in the air. Why doesn't he just do a Heil Hitler?
You know,
exactly.
You know, it's just, you know. Yeah, with his fist in the air.
I can't understand if the far right is so Christian, how they could put that guy after the tape recording of him in that trailer talking about grabbing women and doing
mm-hmm.
what he wants with them. How could they elect
yep.
him just on that?
They're not Christians.
No,
that's
they're not.
They're not. They're not Christians.
No, it was
they're
all
not
BS.
Really, they just fall underneath the word Christian, and then they do whatever they want with it. You know, that's
yeah, all they are is money and power. I wish,
mm-hmm.
and this will never happen, but that our system of voting people into office, our election system, would be more like England. You
mm-hmm.
can only
mm-hmm.
spend, I think it's a quarter of a million, 250,000, and you can only campaign
mm-hmm.
for 4 months, and that's it.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
And that's what
yeah,
should happen here. It's all out of hand right now. This is ridiculous.
Oh, sure.
mm-hmm.
I know. They start to campaign 2 years before.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
I just wish they should make election day a national holiday. So there's absolutely
yes,
no excuse not going to the polls. Australia have this law where if you miss voting, registering and voting, then they'll give you a hefty
mm-hmm.
fine. Well, Australian
yep.
numbers are so up in terms of people going out there and voting. You know, it's near
80%. And everybody should get a mail-in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, the, like
well,
the
mm-hmm,
hospitals
mm-hmm.
and everything, the nurses
yeah.
that work, the military people. There's people that work around the clock. It's hard.
Mm-hmm.
And people that have
yeah.
little
yes.
kids. And you're going to wait
yeah.
in line
and
because they
which,
keep on closing the polling places.
Yeah.
They're waiting in line for
exactly.
hours to vote.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
ridiculous.
Yep.
Yes,
it's
yes.
perfect.
So Mark Kelly released an ad, and I want to play that ad for you. It's a 30-second ad, and
mm-hmm.
his priorities are Arizona, and, you know, he is going to win again, I predict. He beat Martha McSally by 2% points last time.
Yeah.
So,
like
you know, he's going to get this nut job, an even bigger nut job, and this is Mark Kelly's ad.
Possible to bring both parties together in Washington today, but when it came to delivering critical infrastructure upgrades for Arizona, that's exactly what I did. We're going to widen I-10 to make commuting easier, upgrade our ports of entry to increase trade and improve border security, and we'll make sure our water supply keeps up with our growth. These aren't Democratic priorities or Republican priorities, they're Arizona priorities, and we're getting them done. I'm Mark Kelly, and I approve this message.
So Republicans saying, oh, Democrats are weak on the border and illegal immigration. Mark Kelly just stated that, you know, what he's done and
mm-hmm.
infrastructure that Joe Biden put to Congress and it was passed in the House and the Senate. You know, Democrats
mm-hmm.
are getting things done, you know.
Yeah, they are.
So all this rubbish talk. And speaking about infrastructure, Republicans voted against it. But now they're going back to their constituents, whether it's the House or the Senate, saying, oh, yes, look at that. We got this passed. And none of them voted for infrastructure bill. None.
Oh,
you know, so
nope.
they all need to be voted out. I hate them. Yep. I don't dislike them. Yep. I freaking hate them. District 10, uh-huh. Michigan. Our guy is I'm so excited Carl not having talked to it.
Carl Marlinga.
Yeah, District Carl Marlinga.
10. Yes.
Yes, mm-hmm. District 10, Congressional District 10 in Michigan. He's a former judge, 16th Circuit judge. He's going to be on the show Thursday coming up. I can't wait to talk to this man. He's bright. He's intelligent. He has experience. He's a patriot. He's been mm-hmm. through it all, done it all. You know, he's a fighter for the people. And just watch. It's going to be a landslide for that man. Just watch. I can't wait to talk to that man and have him on our show.
Well, you know who he's running against? John James. You know, John James has lost. He's lost two times already here in Michigan. And John James does not even live in the district. That's the funny part. He doesn't even live in District 10. I mean, so grabbing at straws, are you? I mean, come on. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. John James is a loser. He lost against...
Huh?
Like
John
Dr.
James
Oz.
Lost. Yeah,
it's like
much,
Dr.
Much.
Oz.
Dr. Oz, right. John James is a perennial candidate for the Republicans.
The Democrats have to pound in what they have done and what the Republicans didn't do all along.
Mm-hmm.
Because unless they let people know, no, we voted for infrastructure, they voted against it.
Yeah.
You know, and give it... We have to get the word out over and over and louder than the Republicans because they don't have a leg to stand on.
Yeah.
You know,
and John James has run twice for U.S. Senate. One against Debbie Stabenow in 2016, lost.
Yes.
It wasn't even close. And against Gary Peters, lose even bigger. So he's a perennial candidate. He's like an Uncle Tom Republican who has no... That's one of the issues. He's just like a next Herschel Walker, basically.
I hope they have a debate because Marlinga will, you know, Carl Marlinga will, you know, chew him up and spit him out.
Yeah, pretty much. Within 20 minutes or less of that debate, Marlinga will wipe his face to the floor. Okay, a lot of Democrats across the country asking for these public debates, a series of debates. Republicans say no. Why? Because they have nothing to run on.
Oh, they have nothing. They have no plan. Yeah. You know, here in Michigan, you know, we have our great governor, you know, Whitmer, that, as far as I'm concerned, has been a good governor. She is hardworking. She's tried to keep all her promises. She had a tough time with the pandemic, just like every other governor, everyone had all over the country. And Michigan came back economically. We're doing great here. And then there's an opponent. Her name is Tudor Dixon. And she is a right-wing nut job, anti-abortion, even for incest and for rape as well. And today she said that she wants to Florida our Michigan. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
What?
What does that mean? She wants to Florida our Michigan.
Oh, burn book. Burn book.
Florida our Michigan.
And all the other crazy things DeSantis is doing and, like, not allowing excommunicating Disney, which was one of the biggest companies in Florida, because they agreed to teach certain things in school. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
It's mind-boggling, you know.
How can they even run for office when they don't have a brain in their head?
Yeah, they have no shame. They don't have any scruples. They have no experience, most importantly. And people just gobble up what Fox News and other right-wing media is saying because they don't have a brain thing. And Democrats need a cohesive message going forward right through Election Day saying this is what Democrats have done. This is what Democrats will do. This is what Republicans stand for. This is the difference between being a Democrat and being a Republican. We have done this. Republicans have done that. You know, that's what Democrats need to do. And we'll have 20 minutes. So, Susie, thank you for calling. We'll let you go now.
Yeah.
We'll appreciate
it. I was just going to say real quick that the China and Russia are influencing the online misinformation, and people are jumping on the misinformation. Mm-hmm. If we could only stop that, it'd be great. And keep up the good work, guys. Good show.
Thank
yes, ma'am.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's Susan from Michigan. That was Susan from Michigan. Okay, now, so we're supposed to speak about domestic terrorism as well. There's this group called Army of God. They were formed in the mid-1990s. It was a loose network of individuals and groups connected by ideological affinity and a determination to use force and abortion in America. And they are responsible for the anti-abortion violence, the acts of anti-abortion violence. There was a series of bombings caused by them. Eric Robert Rudolph, whose targets included two abortion clinics, a gay and lesbian nightclub, the 1996 Olympics in Atlanta. He was part of this group. And Aryan Nations is a white nationalist neo-Nazi organization. We all have family who served in World War II, who fight Nazis. I know the Aryan Nation and white nationalist neo-Nazis, you know, we have to fight them again on our soil. You know, and they identify as a Christian group.
Yes.
You know,
an American Christian.
American Christian. What kind of bullshit is that? Seriously. Nazis,
it just makes no sense.
It's about it.
And how can they use the word God? How can they use the word Army of God if they are a Christian terrorist organization? How can they put God in that sentence? You know,
evangelicals and them are good friends.
Yeah. You know, it just makes absolutely no sense. You know, you're right. They are against, this is what they say. Army of God, he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. Luke 22:36. Okay. Anyone who supports abortion has the blood of unborn babies on their hands. And they have all of these, their website is sickening.
Yeah. Another extremist group is the Ku Klux Klan. Yeah, the Ku Klux Klan, they're a terrorist organization. It was branded as such by the federal grand jury of 1870. The FBI has been investigating crimes by white supremacist extremists, including Klan members, since the early 1900s. So during Reconstruction and the end of Civil War, the original Ku Klux Klan used domestic terrorism against the federal government and against freed slaves. So during the 20th century, leading up to the Civil Rights Movement, the unrelated KKK groups use threats of violence, arson, and murder for the anti-black, anti-Catholic, anti-communist, anti-immigrant, anti-Semitic, homophobic, white supremacist bullshit agenda. So now they are similar to the neo-Nazis and white power skinheads and far-right movements. And dare I say the evangelicals, because, you know, they're coming under one umbrella. And because I feel threatened that, quote unquote, they will not replace us. You know, they're going to be the minority by 2045, according to the Labor Board statistics. What will they do then when there's like a multiracial society? World
America
War One,
already, you know, David, if you you know, look around and, you know, America already is a multiracial society. I mean, it is. I see it every day. You know,
but by 2045, it's going to be the majority. It's going to be a majority minority country.
Yeah.
And that's what the fighting against. And I have to realize that losing battle is a losing battle. And it should just
let them fight.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know,
The Ku Klux Klan, you know, long history of violence. you know, mm-hmm. and hate. They, you know, they also hate Black America. They, you know, they don't like the LGBTQ community. They're against that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're just mm-hmm. like you said, you know, but they don't know that they're going to lose in their strife, because America's changing. It's changing every day. And the generations mm-hmm. that are coming up do not see color. They do not
yeah.
see race. That's mm-hmm. the difference. That is the difference.
Mm-hmm.
They're being taught that
mm-hmm.
way. They're being raised that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
they have
yeah.
multiracial friends from all over,
mm-hmm.
and they travel a lot.
But the thing
they
is,
go to different countries.
But the thing is,
you know.
Yeah, but the thing is, the South, you know, the South, the quote-unquote
yeah.
Bible Belt, especially,
yeah.
is that stuck
yeah.
in the 1850s. I can't
yeah.
stand the thinking these people were. You know, I used
well,
to live in Florida for years, North Florida.
Yeah.
And my God, I mean, when you go to like a get-together or a party or a function, the blacks mm-hmm. over there, the whites over there, Hispanics over there, Jews over there, it's like, what the hell is a sorcerer, man? Come together.
Yeah,
you know? It's
yeah,
for,
no.
you know, you're not part of my race or my ethnicity or my culture, so you see your actually over here. You know, we're bigger than that. No, we're better than that. You know?
Yes, we are. Yeah.
And the sooner
well,
we realize
know,
that. Go ahead.
No, it's okay.
No, I'm getting fine. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, because you were talking about the South. Well, we know that they are, you know, the most uneducated. They have uninsured children, uninsured residents. You know, their hospitals are not, you know, they have, you know, they're not top notch like we have here in our states here. You know, their prenatal
mm-hmm.
and their, you know, care is not as good. You know, their mental health
mm-hmm.
care is not as good. You know, they love their guns.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a totally different, they're undereducated, and they're,
mm-hmm.
that's all you can say about them. I think education is key.
Yeah, yeah. And and there are no laws that say you can't marry your cousin, your first cousin. How sick is that? When
yeah.
you marry your first cousin, no. You know, and I have shit like that himself. And when you mock them
yeah.
and ridicule them and say, oh, you know, you know, you're hateful,
yeah.
you're this and that. No, come on. We're
mm-hmm.
talking truth. Truth to power. Stop marrying your cousin.
Exactly.
Stop making children who are, you know, mentally incapacitated because the genes are so close. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, the stuff needs to, you know, get up, brush themselves off, say, hey, the Civil War is over. Let's move on. Let's make one America. But no,
well,
they have this grudge, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's a grudge, and you have to remember that, you know, who the governors are in those states as well. You know, that
mm-hmm.
has a lot to do with it. There's a lot of crazy governors in those states.
Yes.
So they need
Governor
to
Ivey from
to
Alabama stands out as one of the crazies. Governor Ivey
yeah.
in Alabama, that guy in
oh,
Mississippi,
yeah.
I can't remember his name, though. He looks like Peter Griffin. On crack.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember his name.
I know.
Though. My God.
Yeah, I don't
you know.
Remember, thank goodness.
If a woman is raped
yeah.
or have incest and everything and pregnant,
yeah.
or the mother's
yeah.
life is in danger and no abortion,
yeah.
that's nonsense. And
they don't care.
I just hope in the South that women get up
I hope
and rise
I hope
to the
so
occasion.
Too.
Tennessee.
I hope so, too.
Georgia, Florida,
yeah.
West Virginia. Whoever Southern states, Texas, beat O'Rourke.
No.
I hope beat O'Rourke come through big time.
Yes. I have faith in, I have faith right now, the states that I have faith
mm-hmm.
in right now, Texas
mm-hmm.
and Georgia. Florida,
mm-hmm.
I'm iffy. You know, if
mm-hmm.
Charlie Crist can pull it off, you know,
mm-hmm.
That would be awesome. If those three states could turn blue.
Mm-hmm.
That
and Arizona.
And Arizona,
yeah.
well,
but, you know,
I don't have high hopes for, but that would be nice. You know, that would be nice.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But, you know,
yeah,
Beto.
The thing is with Florida
Beto.
For me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm, Beto. Yeah, the thing with
yeah,
Florida
saying,
for me is that Florida break my heart too many damn times. I put more stock in Florida because I don't know
yeah.
what they're thinking or what's in their water when they drink in Florida.
Yeah.
And for the past
yeah.
near 30 years that have Republicans in there, and the state has just gone down further and further. Why don't people wake up and say, hey, this guy here is worse than Trump. He has a little bit more sense than Trump, because Trump is like an idiot, and he's a figurehead. Mm-hmm. But this guy is a raging lunatic, and we need to stop him from now. And Chad Pitts is a guy, you know. I wanted the Attorney General to be the Democratic nominee, but, hey, the people swore. I wanted Chad Pitts. So, hey, let's back Charlie Crist. We have to get rid of Ron DeSantis, or it's going to be 2016 over again if and when he becomes a Republican nominee. We cannot allow that. You know, democracy is at stake. We need to step up to the plate and say, here what? They're against women's rights. They're against immigrant rights. They're against gay rights. They're against freedom of expression. They want to burn books. They want to ban books. You know, everything Nazis and a fascist war for, therefore. And that's not a Republican party. We knew it's a totally different Republican party from your grandfather's Republican party. And a lot of people realizing that. I think it's overturning a Roe versus Wade, wake up a lot of people, especially the women, and they're going to see the woman power. Let's watch.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, since we're talking about Charlie Crist, I wanted to mention that who he chose as his running mate, she is the teacher, teacher's union boss. And so, and, you know, DeSantis, you know, is not really for, he's for more for charter schools. And so I think this is kind of a, I think it's a big deal who he chose. I think it's might really make a big difference. So her name is, let's see, she's a union boss. Her name is Carla Hernandez Matt. That's his running name, MHS. So that'll be interesting to see, you know, because they're fighting in Florida over the curriculum, you know, school policies, you know, gay rights. You remember the don't say gay law, you know, that. So Florida is, right now, Florida is a mess, a total mess. And Beto was sick. He had a bacterial infection. I wish him well. I saw him on an interview today, and he was hospitalized for three days, and he's doing better. He was put on intravenous antibiotics, and he's home. He's resting. He's still working. He was doing some interview from his home. So I wish him well, because the energy that he has created in Texas, he has gone to every little city and nook and cranny all around. I've been following his campaign because it's so exciting to me. And I just hope that he beats the crap out of Abbott. I just hope he does.
Yes. I hope so, though. He is dynamic in terms of his policies. He's inclusive of everybody. Yeah. He's not old Texas where, you know, it's awful, just white people are. You know, he is an inclusionary person. Vito has the leadership ability because he was a congressman, you know, and he's well-loved.
Greg Abbott. For the future, I would love to see him run for president. I really would. You know, I think he would be a great candidate. He's a great speaker. He talks from his heart. He's emotional. He gets mad, you know, and he says what he feels. And I like that. He has grit. And I think he would be a good president down the road.
Exactly. And Pete Buttigieg, who stands out, he's one of my favorites. Love that guy in a non-sexual way. He is intelligent. He's sharp. He speaks five different languages. He was part of armed forces in Iraq. He went to Afghanistan. You know, he has military background. Democrats have it. You know, this is ours to lose in November. You know,
and what
we're
about
not
Gavin Newsom?
I lose my voice. Excuse me. Gavin Newsom stand out above the crowd because they tried to recall him and it backfired in the face. And he won. And he's going to be up again for re-election in November. He's going to win even bigger. Gavin Newsom is a standout.
Yes, he is. He's another one. He mm-hmm. Is using his campaign money to do ads, you know, for Democrats mm-hmm. around the country. And I love that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's just not for himself. You know, and like, you know, yeah. they, like you mentioned, the umbrella. They are under an umbrella. Mm-hmm. The Democrats are under yes. an umbrella. And they do take care of
yeah.
each other. And I like that part.
Mm-hmm.
That's,
mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't mind seeing him run also down the road.
Yeah.
So you're right. The Democratic Party mm-hmm. has a lot of hopefuls. And they,
mm-hmm.
you know, they just have to get their message stronger. And
mm-hmm.
if we can get through this mess in November
mm-hmm.
and beat the crap
mm-hmm.
out of them,
mm-hmm.
out of these
yes.
crazy loony bins, we'll be
yeah.
okay.
And special shout out to Kathy Hochul, the governor of New York. She's up in November for re-election,
yes.
along with my New Mexico
mm-hmm.
governor, Michelle Lujan Grisham. Still trying to work
mm-hmm.
on her, getting on the show for like an hour at least. You know,
mm-hmm.
Congresswoman Stansberry, District 1 in Albuquerque. She's
mm-hmm.
a great congresswoman. She's our first girl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, women, we need more women in Congress, whether the House or the Senate. We
yep.
need more women, the state legislator, you know, from school board right up, because women know what it is to run a household, know what it is to be a single mother, working mother. You know, not saying, you know, most guys or all guys are bad, but, you know, give women a
no.
chance.
Well,
they're the future.
It's not bad or good, you know, good or bad. It has
mm-hmm.
nothing to do with that. Women have lots of experience in lots of different areas, you know,
mm-hmm.
child care, you know, nursing,
mm-hmm.
their taking care of their elderly parents, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know,
yep.
and we need women. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yep, we need women. And also we need for Congressional 10, Congressional District 10 in Michigan, Carl
yeah.
Marlico. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, he's going to be a great congressman. Along with, you know, other
Jay
people we've had on the show, you know, we'll have to elect Democrats on all levels, because if we don't, our democracy is in trouble. All right, so we'll thank everybody for listening, sharing, and we'll see you Thursday night, same time, same place, on Kitchen Politics 123. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Good night, everyone. Have a safe evening. This is Lori Pica from Michigan.
Some Bob Marley before we go and everything. Again, 9:30, Carl Marlingo, former judge, 16th Circuit Court. He's going to be our guest. He's a Democratic nominee for District, Congressional District 10 in Michigan. He's our special guest. All right, everybody, we'll see you Thursday night.